Welcome, friends, to Inspirational Truths, a time for exploring truths from God's timeless book. My name is Todd Price. I believe that song and the message for today will be a blessing to each of you. So with that in mind, it is my privilege to introduce to you the founder of Inspirational Truths, my father, Tom Price.
Well, greetings, friends. My name is Tom Price, and it's Inspirational Truth Time once again. And as always, we greet you in the blessed name of Christ, our Savior. And all, friend, listen, if he isn't yours, he can be. He came to be, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. And wouldn't it be a good day today for you to be able to mark this as your spiritual birthday, for you to look back and say, hey, look, it's on this day that I bowed my head, repented of my sin because I knew I was lost and on my way to a Christless eternity, but I repented and asked God to save me for Christ's sake, and he did. Boy, wouldn't that be amazing? Wouldn't that be amazing? I'll tell you, friend, you'll never forget the day when the Lord saves you, without a doubt. Just like that song said, I shall never forget when the Lord saved me. Well, Debbie and I are excited, as you might imagine, about the program. We always are. And we're glad, certainly glad. Can I tell you, friend, we're humbled and excited that you have chosen. You make a choice to join with us. We don't take that for granted. We know that it's a choice by yours, by you. And we're glad that you chose to join in. We trust that our time together will be a blessing to you and bring glory to God. Well, with that in mind, they've got a song queued up. The title of it is Saved by His Grace. I'll be back at the end of the song that she does so beautifully to give the message to you out of John 5:24.
I was standing alone in the darkness. Jesus said, step in the light. He said that I could be justified if by faith I believed. My heart was so heavy, then the burden was lifted. Now free from guilt and shame, that's when I found mercy and grace. I found it in Jesus' name. Grace, grace, that's what I was after. I found grace when I met the Master. He took me in, gave me peace within. Now I'm saved by grace. No longer do I stand in the darkness. No longer a sinner am I. Freely he gave so I could be saved. Peace and joy now abide. For all have sinned and come short of his glory. By his blood we're redeemed. I realize I've been set free by faith through his grace. Grace, grace, that's what I was after. I found grace when I met the Master. He took me in, gave me peace with him. Come short of his glory, by his blood we're redeemed. I realize I've been set free by faith through his grace. I have been saved by faith. I am saved. I'm saved by his grace. Saved by his grace.
That's the only way you can be saved is by grace through faith. That's what the Word of God tells us in the book of Ephesians, chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. And can I tell you, friend, listen, just as sure as we're saved by grace, we're kept by the power of God. None of us have the power to save ourselves. None of us has the power to keep ourselves. But I'll tell you, friend, God's got a perfect plan. God's got a perfect plan and a perfect place for you. In that plan, he's not only able to save, but he's able to keep, friend, listen, He's able to keep those which come to Him by faith through Christ Jesus. That's what this message is about. I'm turning very quickly to the book of John chapter 5 verse 24 for the text verse of this message. And I'm going to be talking about the security of the believer. The security of the believer. Now please don't change channels. Don't turn the radio off. Don't turn me off to spend a little while listening to what the Word of God has to say. Give me a moment to give you my testimony. Give me a moment, friend, to let you know where I've come from to where I am and how that has happened. But look, let's listen to the words of Jesus. And I'm telling you, friend, this is what liberated me. This is what has helped me so much throughout my Christian walk, is just simply letting the Word of God say what the Word of God says. Don't try to make it say anything other than what it says. Can I tell you something? God's able to say what He means, and He means what He says. And when He says it, believe me, friend, men of God recorded it rightly when they were moved by the Holy Spirit. Holy men of God wrote this holy Word of God. John chapter 5, verse 24. These are the words of Jesus Himself. And Jesus says, verily, verily, which means truly, truly, I say unto you. Now there's the authority. It's not T.K. Price. It's not some denomination. It's not some man. It's Jesus Christ, who was God and yet He was man, who is speaking to anyone and everyone that'll do what this verse says needs to be done. He said, truly, truly, I say unto you, and you can put your name in that, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me, listen to this now, hath, that means present tense, that means right now, if you were a sinner and you would humble your heart, bow your head, go to God by faith, broken in spirit, broken in heart, and say, God, I'm a sinner. I don't deserve to be saved, but I need to be saved. Save me for Christ's sake. Save me in light of what Jesus did at Calvary. You know what God would do? God would save you for Christ's sake. And listen to what Jesus said you have. You would have everlasting life. And He said, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Now look, lay everything aside. All of your biases, all of those voices in your head, all of those thoughts about, well, this is what I thought the Word of God says. And just read that verse over and over and over again until you let it speak what it speaks to anybody and everybody that will accept it. Jesus is speaking. He says, truly, why would Jesus lie to us? He cannot lie. He is truth. Pilate, standing looking Jesus in the eye, face to face, said, what is truth? And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And the truth says, verily, verily, or truly, truly, I say unto thee, I say unto you, he that heareth my words, it means anybody and everybody. He that heareth my words and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life. When you trust Christ as your Savior, you become immediately a possessor of eternal life. Now listen, you see, I used to believe nothing about what I believe now. I used to believe you had to wait to go to heaven to see whether or not you had eternal life. Well, listen to me, sir, ma'am. Listen to me, sir, ma'am. Eternal life doesn't start when you die. It starts when you die out to sin and trust Christ as your Savior. Now look, let me say a couple of things to you just to kick this message off from where I'm at. This doctrine, friend, whether you agree with it or not, or believe it or not, is one of the greatest doctrines there is in the Word of God. And listen to what I'm going to say. I'm not here to convince you. Oh, look, if I could convince you of something, somebody else could convince you of something else. I want the Word of God to do its work. I want the Spirit of God to do His work. I'm not here to convince you of anything, but I'm not here to offend you either. But I am here to present to you today the truths that are taken directly from the Word of God on one of the greatest doctrines that we can find anywhere in the Word of God. Now listen to what I'm going to tell you. Until I allowed the Word of God to speak louder than the other voices I had listened to all of my life. At one time in my life, years and years ago, I would have rejected this doctrine. But listen, when I simply began to accept what the Word of God clearly and repetitively says, I found that I could no longer reject what is so clear, and in doing so, friend, I have never had so much peace in my life, no so much confidence in my relationship with God my Father, so much confidence in my purpose that He has chosen for my life. It's transformed me. Listen to me. The doctrine of the security of the believer does not give whoever possesses it, and I'm talking about eternal life, or the knowledge of the security of the believer, it does not give them a license to sin. But listen to what it does. It gives them liberty to serve. Oh, sinner friend, or brother, sister in Christ, and sinner friend too, I'm here to tell you, it is a true doctrine that will give you more peace than you can imagine. Can I tell you what? It's an exhausting. I can't exhaust this truth in one message. But I'm going to tell you what. When we learn to just let the Bible say what it says, then questions and doubts and fears and misunderstandings will dissolve in light of God's eternal Word. I don't want me to be the one to convince you. I want the Word of God to convince you. I'm just going to give you the Scripture. That's all, sir, ma'am, I'm going to do. You know what J. Vernon McGee said about this great doctrine? He said, I believe in the security of the believer, but the insecurity of the make believer. Again, I can't exhaust this subject. We're just going to kind of dip our toe in it. Maybe we're going to get a drink of it. Maybe light will shine into your heart and into your life. And if it does, I pray that you will embrace it verily, verily. Jesus said, I say unto you, he that heareth my word believeth on him that sent me hath what? You said, everlasting life, sir, ma'am. Now listen, if you can get saved and be saved only 5 years and then lose your salvation and die and go to hell, you didn't have eternal life. You just had 5 years salvation. You show me where the Bible teaches that. You show me where the Bible teaches if someone comes to Christ sincerely in faith, believing, repenting, and receiving, they just get a set number of years that after those years are passed, they can give it up and die lost. The Bible never teaches that, friend. Look, there's an obstacle for many who are fearful to embrace the doctrine of security of the believer. And you know what that is? It's the fear of letting go of what men have said about our salvation. And instead of just accepting what the Word of God clearly and repetitively again says about our salvation. Can I tell you what? Too often Scripture that deals with believers' discipleship is wrongly applied to a believer's salvation. So where do we begin with this? We begin back again with our text verse. It's Jesus who said, who do you think is authority in this world? Who do you think will be the authority in the next world? Who do you think has the final say of all things? Listen, friend, it's Jesus. It is Jesus Himself who came into this world to live among man so He could die for man, so that He could live for man, so that He could deliver man from his sins and keep him, friend, for eternity. Verily, verily. Look, read that Scripture again and again and again. and just simply allow it to speak what it says itself. Now look, I want you to know something, and this is hard for a lot of people to accept, but it's not everyone that says they're saved is saved. Some people come and they dress right, they talk right, they go through all the shibboleths, they're baptized, they take church membership, they sit on committees, they do this, they do that. And you know what? Before long, you'll find them leaving. They walk away. They deny the faith. They go away from the Lord and they never come back. Can I tell you, friend, that is a person, according to John 2:19, 1 John 2:19, and I'll get it in a minute, and Matthew 7:21-23, these are the words of Jesus. Those people never knew Christ. They were never saved. Never saved. Say, how do you say that, preacher? Well, let me read 1 John 2:19 to you first, and I could quote it, but I'd rather read it. Jesus, or John said, they went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us, but they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. Can I tell you something, friend? It's going to shock some of you. Some of you are not going to believe me. This may be where some of you want again to turn the radio off, but ask you not to. Judas Iscariot was never saved. Jesus chose him after spending the night in prayer with the other 11 apostles. He had a commission. He had a place. It was real. He was even the treasure. Nobody among the 12 knew about him, what Jesus. They felt like that he had as much part in their work of apostleship as the rest. He went on preaching tours. Hey, I believe he had power just like the other 12 had or 11 had. But you know what the Word of God says about him? Listen to what it says in John 6:70-71. Jesus answered and said, "Have not I chosen you 12, and one of you is a devil?" And he spake of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, for he was that should betray him, being one of the 12. Jesus in verse 64 said he knew from the beginning who it was that believed not and who would betray him. Oh, look, you may say, now, preacher, Judas was saved. No, he wasn't. No, he wasn't. He looked saved. He acted saved. He went everywhere else the 11 did. He spent time with Jesus. I mean to tell you, he sat at his feet. But I want you to know that Judas Iscariot of Judea was lost from beginning to the end. He was never saved, and then he lost his salvation. This is what Jesus said in Matthew 7:21 and following. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? Now listen to what Jesus said. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Listen, we may forget people. I do at my age. You may forget people. You might do that at your age. But can I tell you, sir, ma'am, God never forgets. Jesus never forgets His children. Somebody forgetting their children, that's ludicrous. Now, I know somebody might be able to do that has Alzheimer's or whatever, but God's not got that problem, nor does His Son Jesus. Can I tell you, friend, listen, we've got to know so salvation. Jesus wants us to know without a doubt that we're saved, that our sins are under the blood. Do you know when John wrote his gospel that bears his name and his epistles that bear his name, he wrote with a purpose? Listen to the purpose that he wrote with in John 20:30-31. Many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written. Now watch this. These are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through His name. In 1 John chapter 5, I'm going to begin reading in, let me pick it up, in verse 9. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. Now see, this amazes me. We'll listen to man, we'll listen to his word, and we'll take it as gospel. And we'll take man's word over the word of God. We'll take something that man would say and twist the scriptures and take from the scriptures because they misunderstood the scriptures. But you know what? If we're able to take the witness or the word of man, shouldn't we be able and more willing to take the witness and the word of God? He said, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God which He hath testified of His Son. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. That's the Holy Spirit that seals us. That's another message. But he that believeth not, God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of His Son. And this is the record that God hath given to us, eternal life, and that life is in His Son. In John, you'll find in chapter 15, I believe it is, if you've got the Son, you've got eternal life. Now let's go on in verse 11, in verse 12 and 13. He that hath the Son hath life, present tense. He that hath not God hath not life. And John says, these things have I written unto you that believe on the Son of God, that ye may know ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. Hey folks, all we got to do is take the Word of God and let it speak. All we've got to do is take the Word of God and let it speak. Do you know what Jesus said in John 3:16? For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? He wants us to know, friend, that we can have and do have, if we have salvation, that we have an eternal salvation. Listen to what Jesus said in chapter 10. And this is amazing. You know it. People kind of reject it, but we're going to let it stand. Jesus said, My sheep hear My voice, in verse 27 and following. And I know them, and they follow Me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of My hand. Now people say, and I used to, well, I can take myself out of His hand. Listen, Jesus goes on to say, My Father which gave them Me is greater than all. Didn't say everybody but Tom Price. He said, My Father is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of My Father's hand. I and My Father are one. Listen, friend, listen. I told you at the beginning of this message just a few short minutes ago, my time passes so quickly, that I'm not here to convince you, but I'm here to present to you the Word of God. And that's what I've tried to do. There's so much to look at, so many other things. In the book of Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 9, we read about eternal salvation. In chapter 9, verse 12, we read about eternal redemption. In verse 15 of that same chapter, of an eternal inheritance. We read in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 5, that God's got an inheritance laid up for us. And we don't have any question about God able to keep that inheritance, but for some reason we're able to question if God's able to keep us. Verse 5, He says, who are kept. Us, in verse 3. Verse 5, us who are kept by the power of God. Now listen, I've got to close on this. In the book of Romans 5:10, we find Paul telling us something amazing. We find this, that when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, meaning Christ died to save us. much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. Now look, the life we live as a believer is important. But more important than our life that we live is the life Jesus is living. And the Bible says in Hebrews 7:25, He ever liveth to make intercession for us. Not the only place it says that. It says it over in chapter 9, says it in Romans 8. And look, friend, I'm glad I know I've got security in Christ because I'm in Him and He's in me. You can have it. Just let the Word of God say what the Word of God is intended to say. And you want me to tell you what? You'll come away with a peace and an assurance and a liberty to serve God your Father in a way that you never could before. Hey, I love you. Thanks for listening. Until the next time.
You are my Savior.
Thank you, friend, for listening to Inspirational Truths today. It is our prayer that the message and the song has been a blessing to your soul and has in some way ministered to your heart. We hope that you will make plans to join us every week at this same time. If you have a special request that you would like us to know about, please feel free to write us and we will be sure to pray about your request, whatever it is. If you'd like to contact us, our address is Inspirational Truths, P.O. Box 10004, Charleston, West Virginia, 25357. That's Inspirational Truths, P.O. Box 10004, Charleston, West Virginia, 25357. We're on the web at TOMANDDEBBIE at inspirationaltruths.com. That's Tom and Debbie at inspirationaltruths.com. Remember, friend, this is a work of faith. We need both your prayers and your listening ear. Now, until the next time, it is our prayer that God will richly bless both you and yours.